Hare Krishna. So Krishna spoke a very strong verse. The ones who are doubtful, they cannot be happy in this life, in this world, nor in the next. But now the question is, we might belong to that category of being doubtful. So how to destroy these doubts? And this is answered by Krishna himself in this particular shloka that we're going to discuss today. Shloka number 41.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam atmavantam na karmani nibhadnanti dhananjaya.
So here Krishna is saying yoga. Yoga means that person is acting in devotional service. Yoga. Sanyasta karmanam. Sanyasta, the one who has renounced. Renounced what? Karmanam, the fruits of action. And such a person whose doubts, samshayam, jnana sanchinna, have been destroyed by knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Such a person is situated in self, atmavantam. You see, he is completely self-satisfied, situated in self, in real knowledge. For such a person, O Dhananjaya, O conqueror of riches, na karmani nibhadnanti, such a person is not bound by the reaction of work. If we remember, in chapter number 1, Arjuna was having this lot of doubts that, oh, if we fight, then we'll be overcome by the reactions of these particular activities, we'll be overcome by sins, we have to suffer for that, so on and so forth. And finally, again, towards the end of 4th chapter also, Krishna is saying, hey, don't worry about all that. If you're doing these things, if you're situated on the transcendental knowledge, then these reactions will not touch you, will not bind you. Right. So this is a very nice shloka which talks about how to destroy these doubts. And Prabhupada, you know, helps us to understand this. It is said that one who follows the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead himself becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. So when it comes to understanding, when it comes to applying various transcendental aspects in our life, there are different ways to do this particular thing. Yes. So there are three ways to get transcendental, to get some knowledge, not transcendental, but some knowledge. Yes. One is pratyaksha praman. Pratyaksha praman is basically seeing is believing, you know, the people talk about. So whatever we see, that's what we believe in. But then we have discussed in previous videos also that we are defective. We have got four defects. Our senses are imperfect. We cannot see beyond visible range. But that doesn't mean that things don't exist beyond visible range. Yes. They do exist, but we cannot see. For example, in a dark room, we cannot see what is there. But then, you know, things are there. So first is imperfect senses. Like that, all the senses are imperfect. Second is we are illusioned very easily. Like for example, mirage in the desert. Or another illusion is we can be happy in this world. Third one is we have tendency to commit mistakes. And I guess this we do every single day. So no need of explanation. Fourth one is tendency to cheat. We are ready to cheat others. We are ready to cheat ourselves. Just to get some sense gratification. So in this way, we have got these four defects. Then how can we say that seeing is believing? Whatever I perceive, that is truth. In fact, a scientist, you know, makes a statement that the human beings can perceive only 1% of the entire creation. 99% they cannot perceive. Why? Imperfect senses. Defective, basically. So this is one way, so we cannot get perfect knowledge from this. Second is Anuman Praman. Anuman Praman means guesswork. According to me, according to my opinion, I guess. These are the different, you know, terms or words that people use. But then if we ourselves are defective, if our senses are defective, then how is it possible that our guesswork will be perfect? Our guesswork will also be defective. So the only thing that is perfect is Shabda Praman. Shabda Praman means the praman or the knowledge that is coming from Lord himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, because he is perfect. He doesn't have these defects. He is beyond this material creation. He's the creator, but he's completely aloof from this material creation. So he has given this knowledge, and this knowledge comes in guru disciplic succession. Like at the start of this particular chapter, we have discussed this, guru disciplic succession. So this knowledge is coming in guru disciplic succession, and since it is coming in unbroken chain of selfless people, so this knowledge remains perfect, because the knowledge given by Krishna comes as it is to the living entity, to us. So now what happens is, many times people have this doubt, saying who has seen that this is truth, who has seen that God only has given this, and so on and so forth. So many doubts are there. Vedic scriptures have made this one statement, that if we prove any statement of the Vedas false, the entire Vedic scripture can be rejected. So this is what is the bold statement that is made. So this goes on to say that the confidence of Vedic scriptures is so great that no statement in the Vedic scriptures can go wrong. And what to talk about Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is something which is directly spoken by Lord Sri Krishna. All others are also like that, but then Vyasadeva has penned it down from the various transcendental sound. But then when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, it is directly spoken by Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna. Now when we have these doubts that no, how is it possible, how it will work, 5000 years back Bhagavad Gita was given, and so on and so forth, the n number of doubts that people have. So for such people, now one thing that is always suggested is, apply these principles and see. Apply these principles in life and see. Like for example, if I start describing about, say, rasgulla, that rasgulla is white, it is very, very fluffy, and then if you remove it from the sugar syrup, it is dripping, it's very sweet. If you put it in the mouth, it gives a very, very nice cottony fluffy effect. Now if I go on describing this, the other person might say, No, I don't believe in all this. Then what do we tell that person? Open your mouth and just throw one rasgulla into his mouth. And then he says, whatever you said is correct. Same thing here also. Maybe reading this, maybe hearing this, we might not have that faith. We might doubt. But then as soon as we start applying these principles in life, and when we see transformation in our own life, automatically we'll have intense faith in Bhagavad Gita and other prominent Vedic literatures. So what is needed? Tasting the pudding is needed. Then we'll understand, yes, this is how the pudding tastes. Yes. Similarly, when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, we have to apply this in our life and see now how great it is and what transformation it brings in our own life. So just by applying Bhagavad Gita in our day-to-day life, now we'll have these various transformations that we will see. In fact, there are many, many things that we'll be seeing in future chapters also. But then, this faith, little faith should be there, that, okay, I'm trying so many things of this world. Let me try this one thing. Sincerely, let me try. Let me give a try sincerely. And see, so many people are telling, Bhagavad Gita has solutions to all the problems. Bhagavad Gita can help the person transform his entire life. If so many great souls are saying, there'll be some truth in this. Let us start with this. Little faith. And when we start with this little faith and start applying the principles of Bhagavad Gita in our life, automatically when the transformation comes, the faith will increase a bit. And with that more faith, when we apply the principles with more sincerity and seriousness, our faith will increase more and more and more and more. And then we'll become staunch followers of Bhagavad Gita. And such staunch followers are the happiest people on earth. And that's what is spoken here. It is said that the ones who understand that we are part and parcel of the Lord is already established in self-knowledge. And he is undoubtedly above the bondage of action. Now, if a person is beyond the bondage to any action, a person who is situated in self, in proper transcendental knowledge, who can stop him from being peaceful, satisfied and happy? Yes, he is not bound by anything. So in this way we understand that what is needed currently is, we have to follow what is given in Bhagavad Gita, we have to follow what is given in Vedic scriptures. And something which can give immediate effect in life is mantra meditation or chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So anyone who follows this particular process, that is given in the Vedic scriptures as the medicine for the disease of Kali Yuga, that person will see immediate transformation. There will be so many wonderful transformation that he will see, and then automatically he will get so much of faith. And then along with the chanting of the holy names, that is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, along with that, there are so many wonderful principles of Bhagavad Gita that can be followed. So how can we remove the doubts? How can we destroy the doubts? By having little faith in Bhagavad Gita and applying these principles that we are learning in our day-to-day life. And when we see that transformation in our life, automatically these doubts will be destroyed with time. So in this way, you know, Krishna has made it very, very clear that the person who is faithful will get transcendental knowledge and he will be happy. A person who is doubtful, he cannot be happy in this world, he cannot be happy in the next. And the person, you know, who is getting that faith and trying to destroy the doubts, that person slowly and steadily, he will march towards the ultimate goal, and that person will surely attain success. He'll surely attain that eternal happiness. So after telling all these things, now Krishna is going to summarize various things that he has spoken, and now he's going to instruct Arjun what he's supposed to do in the last shloka of 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.